Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Why is this the most important? Why is this thing? How many people have viewed this? Where they're beating a guy outside of a door pulled the pants down and then an LSU fan stuck his finger in his booty?
I did my part and retweeted it.
But why is this?
I said red card, flagrant two, lifetime ban. I've never seen something so terrible. Three people are jumping this guy. One's a woman, one's like looks like a little brother, and one looks like somebody else. This guy's got no shirt on, and they're all punching him in the back. You know, it's just, I don't know, it's some weird deal going on. And all of a sudden, just like you said, it happens just like you said. Some guy yanks down his warm-ups.
The little
punches
brother.
Like the little brother with the glasses. He's probably like 18 or 17, 18, maybe 22, I don't know. He pulls down his pants like just below his butt and punches him in the butt. Like gives him a punch there because, you know, that's going to really hurt, the butt punch. And then he goes, wait a minute. Now that I'm here, I need to just try to pull an LSU fan.
An LSU fan came and stuck his flag in my booty.
And that's exactly what happened.
That's exactly
on video.
What happened. I mean,
and the comments underneath that video are terrible. There's a lot of, this is a plain sexual assault, and he should be arrested immediately and do prison time. There are others that are more like, why go for the oil check? There's no reason for that. There's a lot, just a lot of things. So that's what, congratulations on your internet, America. This is what happens on Twitter. Things like this. You know, on Facebook, they are very seriously spreading great information so that you have good, you know, that you have a good background for all of your candidates. Facebook is very serious about making sure all the best information gets out there. Twitter wants to make sure that you see a fight where a guy, where an LSU fan sticks a finger in a booty.
I mean, but
and Instagram's just trying to show you some food and some girls in bathing suits.
I mean, hope this is a bad guy.
Which one do you want?
I hope he's a bad guy. Because
the guy with the, that was getting worked on, or the guy who did the LSU fan.
And the LSU fan.
To be clear, we don't know that this guy is an LSU fan at all.
Well, but we don't know that that's an Alabama fan that's getting beat.
Yeah, this is just
probably
code.
If he is a Bama fan, probably a bad person.
Listen, this is just code. When we call somebody an LSU fan, which is what people on Twitter were doing because they understand who listen to the show, you know what we're saying immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That's what LSU fans are known for.
Right, we stick a finger in the booty.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm just hoping because
John, who do you cheer for?
LSU. Oh. Yeah, but and here's the deal: is if I see an Alabama fan, the chances are I could.
So,
what do
you think about those Astros or what's going to happen with if I see an Alabama fan? Was not what I wanted to hear. It immediately sounded very.
You just might have to stick your finger in his booty. I don't know. It seems like that it's the next logical step. That's all. So that's all I'm saying.
Do you watch, how much of the World Series did you watch?
I watched a couple pitches. It was 8-1 when I turned it on.
Yeah, I didn't care. Shocking that Kershaw didn't get rocked.
Yeah.
That was a shocking event from last night, but I cannot watch the Dodgers win. I can't watch.
No. I turned it on. Austin Meadows was pinch hitting. It was 8-1. I watched two pitches and I said, "Okay, that's enough. That's all. That's all I needed. It's all I needed right there." And I'm not interested. I'm just not interested. Now, I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't be interested if it was Astros, right? I'm sure a lot of people would be disgusted with the watching. I'm not watching that team.
Well, they might watch just to see them get beat.
But the Dodgers putting up an 8 spot, I mean, that against Rays pitching, it just doesn't seem logical. It just doesn't seem like anything I'm interested in.
No. Well, you know, our guys were hitting Rays pitching too.
Not, no, we didn't put up any eight spots. I don't know if you
didn't put up the eight spot, but they were hitting the. They were maybe you didn't see they had 19 hits in the first two games against Blake Snell and Charlie Morton, and Blake Snell almost died on the field.
Yeah, well, maybe you didn't hear, but they didn't put up any eight spots. Okay,
no, it doesn't mean you weren't hitting them. They were the Astros were hitting them too. Yeah. Well, I mean, the Dodgers had 10 hits. The Astros had 10 hits in game. Was it one? I mean, there's the difference, though. The difference is when you get them. That's the biggest difference is when you get the hits. And Tyler Glasnow has not been awesome.
No.
He was not awesome against the Astros. He's not been awesome now. But, okay, we're done with the World Series talk. That'll do it for the rest of the World Series, unless the Dodgers get beat the next four. I have
we'll talk about it if the Dodgers get beat. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, yeah. And if the Dodgers get beat, that's fine.
Yeah.
If Charlie Morton's playing a big part, that's great. If they're going to win, I don't have any interest in talking any more about it.
No. If the Dodgers win, whatever. I'm not even going to. Yeah.
Put an asterisk next to this season if they win.
There is an
Astros. There is an, and that's the first thing I'm going to start putting on Twitter. Astros fans need to get that going. I mean, like, this is the asterisk season for the Dodgers championship. Dodgers won a championship in an asterisk season. There's an asterisk next to the Dodgers championship. That will piss those fans off so bad.
Well, it is. It's a 60-game season.
I know. Like, this isn't even a real season.
It's not a real thing.
It's just say this isn't even a real season. Watch how pissed off Dodgers. Are you speaking of not being a real season? What about 17? Like, I would say that was much more of a championship than this one is.
So, yesterday we were talking about home and road and all this thing, and Wilcrest thought, whoa, I got him. Did somebody say that in the Astros postseason that the home and road splits were the same, or it was negligible, or whatever? What did he say? And then he put up the home and road. Someone say there wasn't a huge difference in home road splits in 2017 playoffs, and he got me. Well, that's not what I said, because I did say that in 2017 there wasn't a negligible. They actually had a better road average than home. Their OPS was only .22 different in home and road. They scored a lot more runs on the road, had more hits, doubles, triples, and home runs on the road, a lot more. And you could argue that the banging actually hurt them in 2017.
You're saying regular season or
regular season? Regular season.
Now this is the guy also said there is a good chance that there was there were signs to the hitters. One of the rumors is that some of the signs that were out there at times were coming from the bullpen, where hands on the wall, one hand over was fastball, two hands over was curve, stuff like that. So there may have been some signaling that we're not trash cans, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's just one study that was done by one guy who went back and listened to the game. But your point is taken. Now, Marwin benefited from a home run standpoint. It was a lot more at home than on the road.
Yeah, and Mariznick, too, was a lot better.
I mean, they're both gone.
Yeah.
They're both gone. So we got, you know, the World Series. I didn't even tune in yesterday. I will eventually. So I'll probably watch Charlie pitch because I still have love for Charlie. I didn't even – when the Astros were losing to Charlie, it was hard for me to get really upset.
I know, right?
I just have so much love in my heart for – I've accepted Charlie into my life as – Not personal savior, but I have accepted Charlie into my heart, and I've accepted George Springer into my heart. And you know what I'd like to do, John? I would really. So, have you ever seen the thing at Riel, the painting of Gandhi there? Right, it says good vibes.
At Riel, yeah.
So Frankie Cardona did that. He did one of he's done one of Spanky that just says gang gang. He did a Kobe one that somebody ended up buying for like $12,000. Frankie Cardona is awesome. He's good friends with Donkey Boy. Frankie is one of the most talented artists, I think, in the city. I would love it if we knew George was leaving, if we got together with all the listeners who appreciate George, just did like a George Springer appreciation painting, had Frankie make one and give it to George before he left. I would love to do that for George Springer, because I just have accepted George into my heart. as one of my personal favorites. And if he leaves, it is. I just wish I could give George like a present. Like I wish all of Houston sports fans, or just the ones who listen to our show, could, or our station, could get on 97.5 or 92.5 or on a stream, could give George a kick-ass present on the way out. And I saw somebody yesterday say,
"What kind of present do you want to give?"
Like
a
I said,
a
painting of like a really kick-ass painting by Frankie Cardona of George in action. I think it would be awesome. It'd be badass. Well, anyway, I saw a guy on Twitter yesterday. We were talking about. I put an old gift that I made of George and Carlos Correa. Kind of, it was after Carlos Correa hit his home run against the Indians when he had been ice cold. Yeah. And then he and Springer like daps him up, and they kind of butt heads against each other, and he hugs him, and it's this great moment. And I saw it, I loved it, I made it, turned it into a GIF, and then I put it up after the game was over, and I said, if this is it for George, I just appreciate him making the Astros, you know, so watchable again. It was great, you know, fun to watch. He brought all this energy. Just said all this stuff about George. And people are appreciating it, and him. And one guy goes, yeah, well, now it's all about the money, so he won't be back because, you know, now it's just all about the money. And I was like, you know, this is an organization that, because of the timing of everything, when the team, I think Jeff Leno had an idea of when the team had a chance to make its move, and so they intentionally held George Springer back. They didn't want George Springer to become a free agent before this window of opportunity. You know what I mean? Well, you know that, John. They kept George Springer down in the minors longer than they needed to. For a reason. They did it for a strategic reason, but it's not great for George. So I don't blame George when he's in his 30s for going and getting a fair market deal. I know you don't either. That's not bad. You shouldn't be. Oh, it's all about the money, angry sports guy, about a guy like George Springer, who has, you're in baseball where you have a long run of team control, and when a player finally has his opportunity, well, this player is in his 30s because the team held him back for so long. You shouldn't be mad at George Springer if he wants to leave, or if he wants to to go get market value. I really don't think we should be mad at George Springer about anything like that.
No. No, 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 absolutely not. Dude's got, I mean, he's got so much time to make money, and, you know, listen, the Astros were going to give him a contract this spring and didn't. So anybody who says anything about George, oh, he's just about the money or whatever, how about just about a contract? How about just about getting something?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and he's definitely worth it. If you look at the market, come on. Anybody who blames George for leaving right now, That's just ridiculous. That is ridiculous because the dude deserves to get paid. And if it's not here, then that's on the Astros. It's not on George Springer. It's simply not. All right, we got to take a break. 713 ESPN 97.5 7378037776. We don't have to do this. This, I don't know why Yardbarker came after James Harden, but we can go over what Yardbarker did, and it's not pretty, but we can. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Also, when we come back, John, I spoke with a couple different potential GM candidates.
Oh, you did
yesterday, and they have concerns. And I'm going to talk. You will not get this anywhere else. They have some concerns, and I'll kind of give you some insight into some of the conversations that were had without giving away too much. You know, the information I don't need to, but I can tell you what two guys who should be candidates with this search firm, what their questions were and what their comments were about the Texans and about the city of Houston.
Right,
when we come back.
That's coming your way. Don't you go anywhere.
Yeah, don't go anywhere. John, you don't go anywhere either, because why don't you have Jeff Aronoff come over there today while you're there and just put some marble on you.
Well, he might put some marble on me. I don't know, marble or granite or tile or whatever. I mean, because that's what Jeff Aronoff do every single day. Jeff Aronoff is a guy who has got all that hard stuff. He's a rock hard. And Jeff Aronoff is a rock hard. And here's the deal, is he's got everything that you need to make your house or your apartment or your, yeah, even your apartment or your business, whatever it is, better. if you're looking for somebody that's going to increase the value, that's the most important thing. Whatever it is, you want to increase the value of that home or business. Because if you don't do anything, guess what's going to happen? You're going to, when you go to sell it, when you're done with it, you just lost all kinds of money. So you got to keep it up. And you know what? It'll pay tenfold. In a lot of instances, well, maybe not tenfold, but it'll definitely pay off whatever you put into it when you're adding on an outdoor kitchen or patio or whatever it is that you're adding, into countertops, vanities, whatever it is that you're adding. All you got to do is go to Jeff Aronoff, and he is going to be able to design it, and he is going to install it, and he's going to do all of the work, and you're going to love the job that he does. All you got to do is give him a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Lance has been in news, so he talked to some GMs about the possibility of coming here and coaching or GMing for the Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
What they say?
I talked to people who would be considered. I think would probably be on a list that would be considered by Korn Ferry, who is the consulting firm, and Jed Hughes is a consultant who is leading up the search for the Houston Texans, and two different people reached out. And I reached out to one reached out to me, and the first thing that comes up is Jack Easterby. This is, hand to God, this is not, none of this is going to be a lie. On my kids, what I'm going to tell you is true. There's certain things I can't tell you, certain things I can. But the first thing that comes up, I got a call yesterday from a guy who I have not spoken with previously. And We know a lot, you know, the same people, and called, and we were talking, and I knew what he was going to call for. He was like, oh, you know, I just wanted to kind of get to know you a little bit. And it took about 5 minutes for, what's Houston like as a sports town? You know, where do the Astros rank versus the Rockets and the Texans? And he said, I would imagine it's like Rockets first, Astros two, Texans three. I said, no, I think it's, I said, when the Texans are good, a lot of times it's still Texans one. He goes, really? I said, yeah, but I said, you know, it can be Astros one. It just depends on what's going on. But so we talked a little bit about that, and then all of a sudden, you know, it kind of, and I knew this was just, wanted to kind of pick my brain or put his name in the mix for me to know, one of the two things. And then he's like, well, what do you know about Jack Easterby? This came up fairly quickly. And I told him what I knew. He goes, yeah, I think you know a lot of it. The question was, how much influence does Jack Easterby have over the owner? You know, who are all the people who are influential with the owner? You know, what kind of influence does John McClain have? John McClain had influence with Bob McNair. Like, Bob McNair would listen to John McClain. I don't know if that's the same anymore. But basically, and I thought, was he trying to find a way to the owners? Just like a push to try to, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, is this a push to try to find out where the influence is so he can be the GM? And I said, or would you be, I said, you know, you'd be a guy that would be considered a GM candidate here for sure, I would think. He's like, yeah, I don't, you know, he said, maybe I've got a good job. And he said, I'll just be honest with you, Lance, I'm really worried about Jack Easterby and what his role is, because it just, his background is not something that I would not want to work directly for him. And this is the second guy now who has told me, I just can't have Jack Easterby over me. These are football guys who would run a team. And both of them's big concern. And I was told by the guy that called me that he said, you think Caserio would work for Easterby? And I said, well, you know, I don't know. I said, the only way I think he'd work for him is if Jack knew, because he's, you know, Caserio was in a position of power long before Jack Easterby. And I don't think he would want to, I don't think Nick Caserio would want to have Jack Easterby as his direct contact, you know, as the boss he has to report to. And I said as much, and the guy said, you know, I think you're right. And I think a lot of the people, he said, I've had some discussions with other people. They don't understand how Jack Easterby got this much power with the owner. He said, how did this happen where Easterby has this power with the owner? And I told him, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I think Jack's a good talker. He's got a positive mindset and attitude. And I'm, you know, and I said, he's kind of last man standing over there. And he, you know, we talked a little bit about Deshaun Watson. We talked a little bit about lack of pass rush, not having the first round picks. He goes, you know, he said, Lance, the first round picks and second round pick, he goes, that's a big deal. He said, but if you manage your cap right, you can, he said, Houston looks like a 2 to 3 year runway where you, he said, is the owner patient? I said, yeah, I think the owner's patient. The family's always been patient. He said, that, he said, I looked at everything. That's like a 2 to 3 year plan where you have got to clean out some bad contracts and you're going to have to start rebuilding that roster, because the roster needs to be rebuilt. But everything, every football talk we had would come back to, but you know, the problem is Easterby going to try to get involved with salary cap? Is he going to try to get involved with any of these moves? He said, because I could just stay here and be just fine. I wouldn't want to go. And I said, well, what do you think of Houston as a job? Now, this is just one, the other guy was a little less forthcoming when I talked to him, but he said he would be interested in a Houston job, but he would not if Jack Easterby was his direct, you know, the guy who was in charge of
it. But is that the case, though? Anyway, he's executive vice president of football operations.
I'm starting to get the feeling that here's my concern, John. Good football people are not going to consider this job. Up-and-coming good football people, unless they're a little bit, I don't want to say desperate, but unless they're just willing to make this their first job, because GMs usually get one shot. And if it doesn't work, then you usually don't get another shot. So, you know, you already have strike one against you not having a first and second rounder. It helps that you have Deshaun Watson. You do have some cap issues you have to clean up. But from what this guy told me, he said, I don't think it's anything that's going to crush you. He said, there's contracts. He said, I looked at the contracts. You can clean some of that stuff up. You may want to take a cap hit and get rid of some guys who are overpaid right now. And I think he was talking about Merciless next year. So I don't know what the cap hit looks like on that.
There's more than a few.
Yeah. Oh, no. There's definitely more than a few.
Yeah.
But he thought that that was doable. He just said, the problem is, I just don't know anybody who is a really good, he said, that would be, you know, an up-and-coming target. Or he said, somebody who is really, he said, you know, most of the guys around it are going to be the best candidates. He said, I don't know if I'm the best candidate or not, but he said, most of the guys who are best candidates are not going to want to work for him. And he also said, I don't know if you guys know the guy who works for Jed Hughes. He said, I don't know Jack Easterby, but from what I can tell with his personality, Jed Hughes is the exact opposite of Jack Easterby. He said he's an old school grunt football guy, pit football. He said, do you think Jack is going to have say so on who's hired as a GM? And I told him, I said, I would think. I mean, I think he's going to influence
owner. I don't know that.
I don't know it either. And that's what I said. I would think he would influence the owner. He said, because if so, he and Jed Hughes are probably going to have some issues. Because I don't think Jed Hughes is going to want, he said, I think Jed Hughes from Korn Ferry is going to want to go directly to the owner, and Jack has no say so. Now, I also heard yesterday from a source that there is a thought that Jack may understand that he may not be long for that building, that he could be out of there this offseason. Like, Jack may look for something else at some point. So I don't know that Jack Easterby is as locked in long term, especially if somebody with a lot of power who's going to be a GM says, I will come if Easterby goes. I don't know that Cal McNair would choose Jack Easterby over a guy to run football ops.
Well, and he shouldn't. And that's
No, he shouldn't.
And if he's limiting himself because of Jack Easterby, then Cal McNair needs to know that. Somebody needs to tell Cal McNair that you're the quality of GM that is going to interview here is diminished because of Jack Easterby.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, then Jack Easterby has got to go. By all accounts, you know, Cal is relying on Jack Easterby, but Jack Easterby cannot, a guy with his resume and his background, he cannot be in football operations. And why he's executive vice president of football operations is amazing. It's just amazing.
No, and I've said this before. If he ends up, if they end up keeping him on, okay, you know, so be it, whatever. Just make sure it's on like the Jamie Root side where you're glad handing and shaking hands and going and talking to suite holders and season ticket holders, going and giving inspirational speeches.
I don't think that'll be the case. I think it'd be more like, hey, Jack, you know, more of a player personnel, player.
Liaison?
Hey, Jack, this guy's got a personal problem. You know, Jack, can you talk to him kind of thing? Not making football decisions, but making, you know, more like team chaplain decisions. That kind of thing. Life coach decisions.
That's probably an expensive team chaplain.
Well, I don't care how much Cal spends. It's not my money.
I don't either. But the problem is, you know, based on the conversations I had, because the one thing the other guy said, who I'm the one who called him, he just said, I just wouldn't want him in the building because you just don't know what he's. He goes, it looks like to me is he helped get rid of a couple people already.
Yep. Yep.
And he said he was known as kind of a climber, wanted to be a climber in New England. And he said, I just wouldn't want that kind of guy in the building because you just never know what he's saying to the owner.
Yep. Yep.
And they
wanted
to know, what kind of owner is Cal? Is he a hands-on guy? How does he get his information? Does he read a lot? Like, they were asking all these questions, and I just wanted to say, well, I don't
know any of that's the case.
I don't, you know. I didn't know how to answer that. I'm like, I said, I don't think he's real hands-on. I think he's trusting.
Knowledge is power.
He does search for knowledge. That is true.
Well, and that's
fine. I guess I should have just left it there. Just said, look, this is all I know is his mantra is knowledge is power.
That's it. Knowledge is power. You know what else is power? The right grill. That's power.
Texas Star Grill. Oh, man, that's a lot of power. When you're able to go, I used mine yesterday. I was out there and I did pork chops. Man, they turned out so good. Now, I got an internal meat thermometer from Texas Star Grill Shop, one of the accessories. It's a real thin one. It's a really cool one, just like and almost like chefs would have that. It's very easy to check internal temp, and it's incredibly consistent and accurate. And so pork chops, once they got to 140, boom, done, let them rest, and then we went from there. But you're going to find that the great smoky flavor that you get from one of these wood pellet grills, for example, I'm going to focus on that, for example, in this particular segment. You've got Pits and Spits, which is a local company that is unbelievably well-built, durable, and works great. Traegers work great. They've got the probes that you can put in the meat, and it works directly with the grill where it tells you what the internal temperature is. You can even check it on your phone. You've got things like Green Mountain. You've got Kamado Joe, which is the ceramic smokers. Same thing as Green Egg. You know, you do have Weber and DSC gas grills. Whatever the grill is that's going to take your barbecuing to the next level, they've got it. They've got it for less during their fall grill sale, and they can assemble and deliver absolutely free. One-stop shop for all accessories, marinades, rubs, grills, charcoals, woods, wood pellets. They've got it for you at Texas Star Grill Shop. Three locations in the Houston area. Check out the website. Find one nearest you and stop in and make it your home for barbecue, accessories, grills, and every other need. TexasStarGrillShop.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't know why I'm reading this over again now. Why do you think they did this, Dell, this James Harden playoff hit piece?
Well, it was initially done by Larry Brown and Larry Brown Sports League, whoever, someone on his website, and then Yard Barker picked it up. Was it in response to Daryl Morey and his all the stuff that went down with the Rockets last week, you know, his dismissal or his stepping down, and then he put out that ad about how James Harden changed his life, and then everyone was like, let's take a look at how James Harden changed his life. And then they had to run down every playoff failure that they could find.
Mm-hmm. Look, we do that. That's our job. Why is it like, there is a fascination with James. I think there's a fascination because we've never really seen something quite like this. Because Kershaw, I don't know. Is it the equivalent of Kershaw? Where he has had some really spectacular moments and is always great in a regular season, but is
Kershaw going to erase all that this postseason?
Oh, I think he could.
Yeah,
anytime you win, I think a lot of that stuff goes away.
Right. Last night he looked great, and are the Rockets the Dodgers? You know, really, really good to regular season team, and then they always gag in the postseason up until right now. That's a pretty good. I think that's a pretty good analogy right there. That's a pretty good comparison right there.
Because we're talking about guys who are elite level talents.
And Kershaw is bad. He's not horrible, but he has in the biggest moments he has wilted, and James has too. I mean, they're going back. They're really everything from Manu's block on him in Game 5 to the next game. The 2-for-11, another 2-for-11, which followed a 2-for-11 the previous season, right, in an elimination game, and then 0-for-27, and they're just going all on and on and on about James's, you know, elimination James, which we know who James is in elimination games.
Yeah,
and Tillman has come out. His story is out. The Tillman said, "We ain't blowing this up, everybody. Just so you know, no, our window is open. We've got like 90% of our salary cap is on three guys. That's fine." But they're at almost a cap with five starters. That's fine. But we think we're one of the top four teams in basketball, and we think that with a little luck, we can win it all. I'm not buying that. I texted Tillman yesterday. He said he'd come out as soon as he hired a coach. So we'll talk to him after he hires a coach. I don't know. Here's the thing: is Tillman better hope that the city believes what he's selling there, because this city will support you when you have championship aspirations. If the city doesn't believe that you're going to be a championship team, they ain't coming out. They just don't. So the city better buy what he's selling, because I'm not so sure that I believe that they're one of the top four teams. Not after what I saw with Denver. We'll see what happens with the Clippers, whether or not they're going to stay. We'll see if Boston, Milwaukee, I mean, you know, we've seen the emergence of Miami. So I'm not so sure about one of the top four teams in basketball. When the odds come out in Vegas, what do you think the Rockets are going to be? If everybody stands pat and heads into next season,
the Rockets will probably
be seventh, eighth favorite.
Yeah, you still have James and Russ, so you'll get the respect for that.
But you're in a tougher conference.
I think their window's closed for the most part, based on what it looks like now. It'll look like it's open, but the reality is your playoff window's open, but your championship window is. I just don't think you can get there with this construct. I really don't. I don't know that Daryl left you in a position with a whole lot of wiggle room. Daryl wouldn't have had a whole lot of chance to move around on this. I don't see how someone else is going to. So the question becomes, can you win with this? I think we know the answer. The answer is no. You get against a big team. You know, the Clippers were going to defend too well. The Lakers are too big. And frankly, the way Denver is playing, I don't see that with Jamal Murray's rise in success and confidence.
Yeah.
I don't think you're better than the Nuggets. And the Nuggets have been there the Nuggets are really turning into a pretty consistent team. Now the talent is starting to match the consistency of the play. So, Yeah, I don't know that I love the Rockets anything more than the Mavs with Luka and Porzingis are just going to get better. I don't know, fifth in the West?
That's, wow, fifth in the West. Well, I mean, that's where they were this year. They ended up right about where they were supposed to be, right?
I mean, fifth in the West, and then you're going to put, you know, probably Milwaukee ahead, maybe Toronto. Maybe.
Was OKC? Are they?
No, I don't think OKC.
Well, I don't know. They gave him seven games, Lance.
OKC is, there's nothing that's happened with OKC from a head coaching standpoint, right? I don't believe they have hired anybody. That's where I'm looking at Jeff Van Gundy. With Dort and those guys, I think that could be, that's his kind of roster. If Jeff Van Gundy gets back into coaching, which might be a little bit of a long shot, I think Oklahoma City is
he can't
the spot.
And, who's he gonna root for?
What do you mean?
He can't live in Oklahoma City. He's an Astro fan. He's a Texan fan.
Well, from that standpoint, it's not optimal for him.
No, it's the only team. Who's he gonna root for? The Sooners? Who's he gonna root for?
Well, he can still, you know, this just in, you can still root for your team.
Triple-A team.
You can still root for your team.
He knows that cable exists.
Yeah. Do you, John? Did you know about the cable thing?
No. No. No, but he likes to go. He likes to talk to the coaches. He likes to, you know what? He wants to
be. He'll be friends with Lincoln Riley.
No one wants to be friends with Lincoln Riley.
What?
No. Doc Linville, maybe. That's what he needs. He needs Doc Linville in a hurry.
Anthony Grant is being looked at as a head coach at Oklahoma City? Okay.
Well, what's the matter with Anthony Grant?
What's Anthony Grant done?
Anthony Grant has been a really good college coach.
He has the head coach at Dayton, who was the best team in basketball until, you know, COVID hit.
What about when he was in the SEC?
Well, I mean, he's grown up as a head coach.
No, if you're not good in the SEC, it doesn't matter. Ask John.
What? Well, that is kind of true.
In basketball, too? I thought that was only a football bias. Now we got to worry about them. And he was also an assistant there, too.
So. How many titles does Kentucky have? How many do you have, Del? That's all.
What? That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, ignoring that nonsense he just said, he was also the assistant at Oklahoma City as well for 3 years. So that's the connection.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I forgot. Yeah, the Warriors also will be one of the top teams next year. Like, immediately. And so will the Nets.
And the Nets.
The Rockets might be 10th best at best. Vegas.
Ooh, that's a little disrespectful to our team.
Okay, would you put Denver ahead of them?
I want to know if are we going to have anybody over 6'3 this year? That's all I want to know.
Oh, yeah. James is 6'5.
No, he's really kind of not.
But did you see the video of James playing pickup ball against some high school kids and just dominating them?
James dominated high school kids.
You
can't
see
wait
that,
to Del? See that.
Why am I? Why would I watch?
He had his haircut short. He's got a new haircut.
Do you think James could win a high school state title in an elimination? Because every game's an elimination.
Yes, James can help a team win a state title in an elimination game in high school basketball.
Every game is an elimination game. You know that, right?
Yes. Even if he doesn't play well, elimination James could still win that state.
Are you sure?
Sure.
I mean, he needs some help around
him. Would he stop shooting at some point?
No, I mean, what if he just started passing to Mike Gerritsen in the corner?
Like, will he go 2 for 11?
You can't pass to Mike. Mike is going to crap the bed. He's so nervous in the corner. Just take it to the rack. These are high schoolers.
Will he shoot 2 for 11 every
just settle for a bunch of threes?
Yeah.
No, okay. Then James would 100% win a state championship.
And after losing in the regionals, he will. They'll ask him. He'll say, "I know what we need to do." What does that mean? I just know what we need to do. And
I know we
and
need
he'll
to
get
do.
Rid of the 5'7" white point guard who didn't that the kid. James, you can't get rid of that kid. You know he's a high school kid. You can't just trade him away. We'll see about that. We'll see.
Do you? Would Rajon Rondo win a state championship? I don't think Rajon Rondo could lead a team to a state championship.
I mean, he might intimidate.
Playoff Rondo is pretty good.
He might intimidate all the other players.
Oh, yeah.
He would be a problem with full court press stuff.
He would be a problem after the game. Okay.
Who would be the most dominant in high school right now? Anthony Davis? or LeBron.
You don't think that standing they're standing next to each other at the free throw line, Rondo would say, "I will cut you after this game."
Yeah, I think they would be afraid of Rondo.
Yeah.
But I think Anthony Davis wouldn't scare them, but Anthony Davis. But you know, some schools will give you a 6'9", 6'10" player. Did y'all see the 16-year-old?
Oh my gosh.
Who was playing Rudy Gobert?
Wemboygian or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
16 years old and that 7'3" and he has a buttery handle and jumper from outside.
Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He was a problem for Rudy Gobert.
No, he was he scored at will.
Now, well, at least on the video cut-up we had.
Yeah.
Remember, right. It was probably an edit. But and then at the end they showed, you know, they showed Rudy going at him. And the kid is, I think, probably 115 pounds?
He's 7'3"?
209.
They have him at 209?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 7'3", 209 is all you need to know. That is hella skinny.
Yeah. That's
he needs to get to 240 at least.
He and I would battle down low.
Yeah. No, right. He is spindly, but he is super skilled. Like, he's a very skilled 7'3". Let me put it that way. Dale, he's considered, the second best young player, I think, in the nation?
I don't know his ranking, but, yeah, he's a French version. I guess if you're trying to give him the highest praise, you might say 16-year-old French version of Kevin Durant. Who knows? At 7'2", can shoot the ball, can handle a little bit. We'll see what he is. He's only 16.
But that does look like he has that kind of pull-up. Porzingis,
maybe. He's more maybe Kristaps, but who knows?
All right, it's 7:45 ESPN, 97.5, 713-780-3776. He needs a little testosterone to get to
a little
bigger.
Well, I don't think he does. He's at the age where that's going to be coursing through his veins. As a matter of fact, you maybe were you ever a 7'3"? Spindly, big man who could shoot and had great handles? No, you probably weren't. So that's not what you're looking to get back to. But maybe you were that guy who was a very good college baseball player. Maybe you're the guy who used to, with your workouts, you played on a competitive flag football team or softball team. You went and played a lot of pickup basketball. But over the years, you just kind of like, hey, you know, I've kind of lost my drive. I'm a little bit more of a couch potato. I don't have the same lean muscle mass. You know, I lift still, but it just doesn't do the same thing for me. Well, that all sounds like you could have an issue with testosterone. It robs you of a lot of time, your drive. It robs you of your lean muscle mass. It can take away a lot of energy as well. When you get your testosterone tested at Men's T Clinic, it only takes a few minutes. You get your results back, and they'll work with your insurance company to get you covered for your testosterone treatments. And what you're going to find is, a lot of times within the first week of treatment, you're going to see a surge in energy level, which is what I saw. And within 2 to 3 months, you start seeing a change in body type. And you will really notice the difference when it comes to your confidence and the way that you feel and the way that you look. These are just facts. Go look it up if you want to. Go to mensteeclinic.com. That's mensteeclinic.com. 5 locations in the Houston area.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5.
John, you know the guy that posted that video of the fight where the three people were jumping the one guy and then the one in the back goes LSU fan. And the guy
LSU getting punched. Fan came, stuck his spike in my booty.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
In this fight, some guy decided to do that. You know, a lot of times, Dell, when somebody's video goes viral, what do they come back with? What is the post that they come back with once they see their videos going viral?
He goes, "Oh man, this really blew up. Go to my Patreon or my YouTube channel or my whatever." It's always
a promotion.
Yeah, right after.
It's a promotion of some sort. This guy, Cactus Jackass, who put this video out, he said, "I ain't got nothing to promote. Just keep your fang out of people's booty space unless you get consent. Hashtag bless up."
That is true.
Keep your fang out of people's booty space.
Something we should all
unless, you got, unless consent, you get consent. Hashtag bless up. I don't see. Tell me where the lie is in that. Tell me where the bad advice is in that.
I really
comment.
Think those are words to live by.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. It might not be the way that Jack Easterby would say it. Might not be the way that you would say it or I would say it, but I think saying, hey, please respect people's personal space and their bodies. I think that's what he said. Keep your fanga out of people's booty space unless you get consent. That's the same thing. It's just got a little more pepper in it. That's all.
Yeah.
What he said is true.
No, it's absolutely true. I mean, those are words to live by.
Chris Andrews says, has the LSU fan been identified? This really is not funny. This is sexual assault. This was triggering as bleep to watch, somebody said. The responses here, you can kind of tell the age groups just by the responses.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Do you see that there's a record number of shark attacks right now?
Wow, how shocking.
Huge spike.
2020, there's a record number of shark attacks. Boy, yeah, I never would have assumed that.
There's like, okay, so 9 deaths.
Whoa.
This year. Yeah.
That seems high.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This guy's got a baby shark just stuck that's biting his leg and won't let go of his ankle.
Where do you see this video? Baby shark attack. I'm going to put
I'm
that.
I'm watching.
Because I accidentally just typed in baby shark. Not a good.
What no, did
you say? Not a good thing.
No,
that
don't
was
type.
Terrible to put. Oh, baby shark attack is also a song.
No, it is a song. No, don't put in baby shark ever again.
Yeah.
No, but there's.
Where
like,
are you watching? Where can I see this?
9 deaths. NBC News right now. Got it.
NBC News?
Yeah.
Holy. That's where you go for all your click to Houston?
No, I've got all 4 TVs in here. I got ABC. ABC's in commercial right now. CBS, I got Fox, and I got and right now we got a record number of sharks out there. Holy crap. Don't go. What are you more afraid of? Lightning or sharks?
No, lightning. Nope, that wouldn't 100%. Even make that's not even close.
Wouldn't even make my top 2, either one of those.
Sharks. What? Lightning wouldn't make your top 2. Is no. it top 3?
No.
Okay, when you get killed by lightning, you'll show some respect.
You're talking about death things. I'm talking about what am I afraid of.
All right, what are you afraid of then?
Marriage.
That's not my top 2.
Well, you've already gone through it, so you've adapted.
But you have control over that.
Yeah, and that's why I avoid it.
What are things you're afraid of that you don't have as much control of, like, you know, marriage? That's out.
Accidental pregnancy?
Okay, that's a fear.
Okay, fair.
See, yeah. I have some control, but it's not always
I have
guaranteed.
To let that go.
It's not always guaranteed. Burning, fire. Burning up in a fire. That's a fear of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of that one.
That's the worst way to die.
That's minor. Go like this. Lightning, sinkholes. 1, 2.
Sinkholes?
Sinkhole?
Oh, yeah. Well, you'd want to fall into the earth. A sinkhole happens out of nowhere. You can just be driving in Houston.
In a movie, maybe.
And a sinkhole. No, in real life. One of the guys I went to college with and played a lot of basketball with, a guy named Mark Myhall, he was on a golf course, John. He fell into a sinkhole.
What?
He fell into a sinkhole and had to get helped out.
Did he die?
No, he's alive.
He's fine.
I remember baby Jessica when I was a kid. That whole ordeal.
Yeah, but you know, you're not going to fall into a well. I don't like thinking about it. Oh, you know what else I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of being bricked in somewhere like the Count of Monte Cristo. That would be horrible.
No.
Or also on Oz. They had one on Oz one time too where somebody got bricked in.
What about being trapped in an outhouse and somebody tips it over?
Oh, I know that's one of your top 3.
That's That's okay.
See, that's not one of mine, but it's a terrible thing to have.
Oh.
You can't even
I
think
would
about
die.
It, right?
I would die.
You can't even think about the outhouse one.
Right.
Every once in a while, I have to just keep my mind out of it. But
what if you're in an outhouse and a giant snake comes up from there?
Oh, snake in a toilet. Yeah, snake in a toilet is something you just don't even want to think about.
No.
Because just any snake, you're just sitting down on any toilet and snake up through the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, snake on a toilet is something that Dell's burning alive in a fire has got me a little concerned now when I'm thinking about this. I hadn't really considered burning in a fire. I think you guys need to start thinking about sinkholes because these things happen. Go watch some sinkhole videos.
No, there's no.
I don't want to. watch something that'll shake me to my core. You enjoy that stuff.
No, I do.
You like going and seeing what things can kill you and then being afraid
of them. Being buried alive. Oh, now Twitter's weighing in. Being buried alive. Now, being buried alive, we did a Twitter. I need to get him on. You remember Ray, the freaking Puerto Rican, John? He used to call the show. Uh-huh. So his wife, his second wife, she tried to have him killed. A caller to our show used to talk a lot of boxing and Tito Trinidad. This story has been on E60. It's been on 60 Minutes. It's been on channel, like one of those shows on Friday, like Dateline or whatever. This guy was... He got remarried. He's a boxing coach, boxing manager. I had him on the podcast. Me and Eric Layden had him on off script, and he told the whole story. He got married, and, you know, when she became a U.S. citizen, she had a green card. But when she became a U.S. citizen, they threw a big party for themselves, her, her mom, and her kids, and he wasn't even invited. He didn't even know anything about it. He's like, huh, this is strange. And then they just started getting into fights a lot more, and the whole story's on the podcast, but... Eventually, somebody at his boxing gym who was a little bit had a little bit of a troubled background said, "Hey, need to let you know something. Your wife's trying to have you killed, man. She came to me and wanted to see if I had somebody who could, you know, kill you and chop you up and blah blah blah." And so this guy Ray Ramon Sosa, Ramon Sosa, you can go find it on the web, you know, on internet. He went to the police and they had him, or the FBI, they had him fake his own death. They had just some lady, it wasn't even a good makeup artist. They went and bought some kit from a Halloween store and made it look like he had a bullet in the head. They dug a grave. He had to take a picture where he was laying there with no shirt in a grave with a bullet hole in his head to fake his own death so that the guy could give her a picture of it to show. And so... I just thought, I'm sure you remember Ray the Freakin' Puerto Rican. I thought that was interesting that he, so we can get him on the show to talk about it if you want.
She obviously did time.
Oh, yeah. So she's in prison now. Yeah. And he, she's happening. In prison and they've never talked, you know, since then. But you can go find her getting arrested on the internet. They show that also.
That's happened to a few of my friends.
So. Oh, my God. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Del, so did that surprise you that a few of John's friends have had. Women who put
hits
you need
on them?
To really pay attention to this show. Do you realize what John said? A few of his friends have had hits put on them by women in their lives. Are you? That's happened to more than one. I know one of the people.
The bigger surprise is he can talk about it, kind of, you know, detached, like it hadn't happened to him yet. I'm more surprised that woman hasn't put a hit on him yet.
Yeah, Wendy wouldn't.
No. I mean that's his past. I'm talking about his past.
My first wife would have.
It is weird that you're so quiet about the Chicago thing.
Like, well, he knows. There are some dark times. Just like Gilbert had dark
Gilbert
times.
Gilbert had dark times in the 80s. John had some dark... The exit strategy in Chicago, there's something weird there that John won't give us.
I think it's pretty clear.
He
doesn't want to talk about it because there's some ugly things that happen.
There's something. Yeah, somebody said, this town ain't big enough for all of us. Or somebody said, you got to get out of here. Did anyone at any point in your life say, Johnny, you got to get out of here.
You can make it out. You got to get out of here, Johnny.
That
okay, let me ask you a question. Did you have your name changed at any point to John Grant?
Yes, I did.
Okay, curious.
No relation. No relation to
anything.
Did
you ever live in Arizona at any point?
No, but I'll tell you this.
Did you ever live in Arizona at any point?
Yes.
Okay. Dale, how much is change name, live in Arizona? This is all witness protection stuff.
I'm all in. I'm all in on this theory.
This is all witness protection stuff. Arizona, change your name. Chicago gang, call the animals.
Witness protection means you're a snitch. I didn't snitch.
No, it doesn't. Well, yeah, usually it does.
No.
I think the people in his life.
No one called you a snitch, John.
I think it's don't fine. Call him a rat. I think
you may be cooperated, but we didn't call you a snitch.
We call you a state's witness, not a snitch.
I did not bear witness against anyone.
Did you have something to say about Mel Murphy? At any point, did you mention where Mel Murphy hid the gun?
No, at no point would I give it up. At 0 point would I give it up.
We know the people in John's life said, John, most of us can't even speak English correctly. You can. So you might have a career doing something. You got to get out of here, Johnny. You got to get out of here.
Johnny Boy. That was my name.
Johnny Boy. You're better than all of us. You're the best of us, Johnny.
You got talent, Johnny Boy. You don't have to stay here in this life. putting tile up in grandma's kitchen and watching the thing slide down the wall as you're grabbing a check.
Yeah, Johnny, you're better than all of us, Johnny.
Just trying to take down scores every day.
You don't have to play the numbers, Johnny.
Hey, Johnny, make sure that you're...
Why are you running numbers, Johnny? Johnny, you're better than that, Johnny. There's a life outside of just gabagooling numbers.
Yeah, gabagooling, capicola, Johnny, mozzarella. That's just start naming off Italian slang for food.
How about Coors Light?
You could be a priest, Johnny. You could make your mom proud.
How about Coors Light?
Sausage and peppers, Johnny.
There's a life for you outside of this. It's called Coors Light.
You're damn right there is. And it's called...
Meet a guy named Chad. He'll change your life, Johnny.
Clean, crisp, refreshing. It's Coors Light. It's the world's most refreshing beer. And if you're somebody that is looking for a great way to enjoy a Coors Light because the people that you hang out with at work are so stupid that you got to, afterwards, you need to drink your way, okay? You got to drink away all the memories of those two. Well, then all you have to do is get a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It's the worst. Somebody texted me yesterday. How can you be sick? What's the deal? You thought Coors Light. You're right. I don't know how this happened. I must not have drank enough Coors Lights. That's on me. So if you're somebody that needs cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, if you're going to have a nice alcoholic beverage, well, then it's got to be a Coors Light. Choose Texas Chill, the official beer of everything that you do. Texas Chill, baby. You're going to love Coors Light. Pick up 12 ounces, 18 ounces, 144 ounces of Texas Chill. It's the world's most refreshing beer.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.